Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanihim Began Eden. Amen. Daf Mem Dalid. Today's daf has been sponsored by Mr. Jerry Harari and family in memory of Yosef Ben Simcha. Today's daf is being studied the Alun Ishmat Rabbi Baruch Rafael Ben Miriam and Abraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihem Began Eden. Amen. We are starting at the new Mishnah. Metaltelin Ner Hadash Aval Lo Yashan. Rabbi Shimon Omer Kol HaNerot Metaltelin Chutz Min HaNer HaDolek BeShabbat. Again, the terminology Ner refers to a receptacle that they put the oil in and the wick in. But the vessel itself is called a ner. So the Mishnah says, Metaltelin ner hadash. The first opinion of our Mishnah, which is actually the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, holds that a new receptacle that was never used before is non-mukseh for Shabbat. You're allowed to move it on Shabbat. Why? Because you could use it for other things. You could store small little things in that ner. And therefore, it becomes permissible to use on Shabbat and to move it on Shabbat. It is non-mukseh. Aval lo yashan. But not an old one. We're talking about if, let's say, it was made out of pottery. An old pottery ner, which means it was used before at least once, so now it becomes disgusting. It's very hard to clean. Now it becomes grimy. There's oil in there and different things. And therefore, the opinion of our Mishnah is there is a mukseh called mukseh machmat mi'us. And certain things that are repugnant, so they become mukseh for that reason alone. So since this ner was used already, you're not going to use it for anything else. What are you going to store in there? It's all oily, etc. So therefore, the Mishnah says, "Chutz, except miner avalo yashan, but not an old one." Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon, who we know is the lenient opinion in the laws of Mukser, kol anerot metaltelin. Any type of ner you can move on Shabbat, whether it's a new one, whether it's an old one. Rabbi Shimon does not subscribe to the opinion of Mukser Mahmat Mi'us. Chutz Menaner adolek beShabbat. The only one that he says is off limits is a ner that's lit. And the Gemara is going to explain while it's lit. Which means, only while it's lit on Shabbat, then you cannot move it. Rashi explains, Chutz menaner adolek beShabbat, be'od shu dolek asur. Only so long as it's lit, shimme yichabeh haner. Now she gives us a reason, gezerah, that you might come to extinguish the fire by taking some of the oil, or actually putting it out. So they didn't want you, Rabbi Shimon didn't want you to handle a ner that's lit. But once it goes out, no problem. According to the first opinion in our Mishnah, doesn't matter. Even if it went out on Shabbat, the ner, it becomes mukseh. That's the Rashi right before that one. Chutz min haner shebdiko v'afalgav shekava asur. De'it le Rabbi Meir mukseh machmat isur. Now, that is a, I actually read you a Rashi in the Gemara, but that's fine. The first opinion will hold that it is asur as well, as we'll see in the Gemara. So let's review the Mishnah. Metaltelin ner hadash, the Gemara says, it is permissible to metaltel a new ner that was never used, avalo yashan, but not an old one, because that we mukseh machmat mi'us. Rabbi Shimon Omer, kol anerot metaltelin, all nerot, whether a new or old, it's permissible, he does not hold the mukseh machmat mi'us, chutz min haner adolek b'shabbat, except for a ner that while it is lit on Shabbat. Tanu Rabbanan, now we have a braita. Metaltelin ner hadash avalo yashan, the Rabbi Yehuda. That's clear. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, only ner hadash, but not yashan. The yashan again would be mukseh mahmat mi'us. Rabbi Meir omer, kol nerot metaltelin. Rabbi Meir says, doesn't matter, all nerot, whether new or old, are metaltelin. Why? Because Rabbi Meir does not hold of mukseh mahmat mi'us. Chutz menaner shedlikobo b'shabbat. Except for a ner that was lit through Shabbat. She's according to the Rabbi Meir, even though it's not lit anymore, let's say it went out Shabbat morning, doesn't matter. Since it went into Shabbat lit, it becomes mukseh for the rest of the day. That form of mukseh is called mukseh mahmat isur, which means since an isur was being done with the ner, meaning was lit, you cannot light a ner on Shabbat. So since, let's say, going through Ben HaShemashot, going into Shabbat, this was lit, and therefore it's off limits to you. You aren't allowed to move it. So therefore, even after it goes out, it remains mukseh. That's called mukseh mahmat isur. Rabbi Shimon omer chutz min haner hadolek b'Shabbat. Rabbi Shimon says different. The only ner that's mukseh is the ner that is lit on Shabbat. However, kafta, once it goes out, mutar letaltela, it is permissible to move it. So the Bishamon does not hold of mukseh mahmat isur, nor does he hold of mukseh mahmat mi'us. He just says that the ner, while it's lit, is mukseh. Like Rashi explained, because you might come to take from the oil. So the Bishamon, we see, is the most lenient shita in mukseh. As the Gemara says, Aval, however, kos the keara the ashashit lo yizizem mimekomam. Rabbi Shimon is mahmir in three cases. He's mahmir in a case of a kos. Kos literally means a cup. Keara would mean a bowl. And ashashit, ashashit, Rashi says, kos gadol shezechuchit is also a large glass cup. And what do you do with these things? They would fill them up with oil. So the Bishamon says these items, even after they go out, they become mukseh. They retain mukseh level. Which means by a ner, by the receptacle, when it goes out on Shabbat, the receptacle becomes mutar to move. It's only mukseh while it's lit. However, if you use these three kelim as a receptacle, you put oil in it, you put a wick in it, you did the whole thing, now it went out on Shabbat, these items retain their mukseh status even after it went out. The Gemara is going to explain soon what's the difference. Which means if he doesn't hold of mukseh mahmat isur, so what's the problem? What do I care if it's in a ner, it's in a kos, in an ashashit, or a kiara? Gemara will explain that. The Rabbi Eliezer b'Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Eliezer, the son of Rabbi Shimon, says, "Mistapek ben haner hakaber umin hashemen hamitaftef va'afilu b'sha'a shaner dolek." Rabbi Eliezer, the son of Rabbi Shimon, has a very lenient shita here. According to Rashi, what the son of Rabbi Shimon is saying is as follows. Mistapek min haner hakaber. You're allowed to take some of the oil of a ner that's on the way out. Meaning the wick, it's on its last flickering, so to speak. And that she's telling us a tremendous chiddush here, that he allows you at that point already to start taking the oil. Which means it's not ner shekaba, it's not a ner that was extinguished, it's ner hakabeh, that is in the process of going out. Which is a tremendous chiddush. I mean, how could you take oil from a ner that's on the way going out? By taking the oil you're going to extinguish. Mechabeh is one of the 39 melachot. So we have to say that according to Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shimon, he holds that that's not considered kabeh. Mechabeh is only when you have a regular fire and you take. However, here it's going out anyway, so to speak, because it's dwindling already. It's on its last flick. So therefore, he allows you to take the oil even at that point. Tremendous hadush. And then he says, "Umin Hashem in a metaftef." And furthermore, let's say you have oil that drips, like we learned in the previous Mishnah, the vessels they used to have used to drip oil. So they used to put a keli there in order to catch the oil. So the Bilal Zabar Rabbi Shimon holds that that oil as well is usable even as the ner is lit. So the Gemara says, "Va'afilu b'shash ha'ner dolek." Amar Abaye, Abaye says, "Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Shimon savar leka'avu behada." He holds like his father in one respect, upalik ale behada, and he argues on his father in one respect. Savar leka'avu behada. He holds like his father in one respect. Delet le mukse. Delet le mukse means he is lenient in the laws of mukse, meaning he doesn't hold of mukse mahmat isur, which is even though the ner went into Shabbat lit, he doesn't have gezerot, as opposed to, for example, the Bimeir that said if the ner was lit through Shabbat, even after it goes out, it retains mukse. No. Rabbi Eliezer, the son of Rabbi Shimon, holds like his father in that respect. Let the mukseh, meaning he's lenient in mukseh, meaning mukseh mahmat isur is okay. However, upadig ale behada, he argues on his father in one case. The idu abu, his father, sabar kava in lo kava lo. His father says only after it goes out, it becomes not mukseh. But so long as it's lit, it's mukseh. The EU Savar and Nabi Eliezer, the son of Bishamon, holds Afagav de lo kava. As we learned, even though it did not go out yet, still Nabi Eliezer holds you can benefit from the oil and you can move the ner. Now that's the way Rashi learns the Shitav Nabi Eliezer and Nabi Shimon. The Ritba questions this opinion based on what we just said. How could you take oil from a ner that's still lit? Bottom line, it's going to be extinguishing. So the Ritva cannot accept such a shita in the eyes of Rabbi Shimon. So he learns like this. The Hiddush of Rabbi Eliezer is that that oil that drips into that cup or that keli that you place to catch the dripping oil, it's that Rabbi Eliezer says you can take this oil even though the ner is still lit. Which means Rabbi Shimon was mahmir on that. Rabbi Shimon, his father, said you cannot benefit from the oil that dripped into the keli so long as the ner is lit. It's asur. It's off limits. Just like the oil in the keli is off limits when it's lit, so to the oil that dripped into a keli is also off limits when it's lit. That's Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Rabbi Eliezer, his son, argues and says, no, I agree that what? The oil in the keli itself, as long as it's still lit, you can't touch. That's mechabeh. But the oil that dripped into the secondary keli, even though the ner is still lit, Rabbi Eliezer allows you to benefit from it. So therefore he's still arguing with his father in that case. So it's not as extreme an argument as Rashi wants to make it, whereas Rashi allows, according to Rabbi Eliezer, to actually take oil from the ner itself while it's still lit, because it's going out. The Ritva says no. Ritva says what the Bidhaiz is allowing you to do is take the oil that dripped into the keli, into the kara, even though the ner is still lit, which is something that the Bishimon, his father, did not allow. Now the Gemara goes back to understand the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Aval kos v'kara v'ashashit lo yizizim mekomam. Gemara said that in the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, if you have a kos, a cup, a kehara, or an ashashit, what do these things have in common? They're all bigger than a nir. They're all large receptacles. So Rabbi Shimon says, in these cases, if you filled them up with oil and you put a wick and you did all these things and you lit it, even though it went out on Shabbat, they still are considered mukseh. So the question is why? Why should they be different than a ner that went out? If Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold of Mukseh Mahmat Isur, if he doesn't hold of that something that went into Shabbat, you know, be Isur, he doesn't hold of that. He holds that once it goes out, it's permissible. So what's the difference? What type of vessel I'm using? So the Gemara says, Mai Shena Hane. What's the difference with these? Why are these different? Amar Ula. Ula says, Sefa Atan Rabbi Yehuda. He says, that statement of Kos and Ashashit and Ke'ara, that's not going according to Rabbi Shimon. Well, that says you're right. According to Rabbi Shimon, no difference. That statement is in the Rabbi Yehuda, which is the Rabbi Yehuda that taught us that he holds the most strict level of Mukseh. He holds Mukseh Mahmat Mi'us. He holds Mukseh Mahmat Isur. So they're just telling you that there's no difference according to him. Which means even though these vessels, let's say, after they go out, maybe they don't become ma'us, because they're glass, they're still going to be mukseh, because bottom line, they were lit through Shabbat. So therefore, it's telling us that what? In the biyuda, these things are asur. So comes the Gemara and says, matkif la mor zutra. That's a question. How could you tell me that this course in Ashashit and Ke'ara is talking in the biyuda? My aval. What is the aval? Aval literally means but, which means it sounds like you're saying something that went through Shabbat would be permissible, but these things that went through Shabbat are not. Now, according to the Biyuda, nothing that went through Shabbat lit is permissible. So the word aval, kos v'ke'ara v'ashashid, it cannot go in the Biyuda. It's got to go according to Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Shimon is saying what? That although a ner that was lit through Shabbat and then it went out is permissible, because I don't hold the Mukseh Mahmat Isur, aval, but take the same case with a kos and a ke'arah ashashit, and it goes through Shabbat lit and it goes out, it is going to still be Mukseh. So now the question is again, what's the difference? So the Gemara says, "El Amar Mor Zutra Le'olam Rabbi Shimon." Really, that statement is Rabbi Shimon. V'chi Kakashari Rabbi Shimon Bener Zuta. When did Rabbi Shimon allow a ner that went out on Shabbat to be moved? That's a ner that's small, a small receptacle. Why? The Da'ata Elave. Because his mind is on it. Which means, now we're getting into the logic of Rabbi Shimon. What is the logic of Rabbi Shimon? Why doesn't that ner retain its mukseh status? Bottom line, the law usually says in mukseh that if going into Shabbat, the item is off limits, finish, it stays off limits the whole Shabbat. Ben Hashem Ashot, going into Shabbat, this ner was lit. Finish, off limits. How could it go back and become on limits again, so to speak? So the logic of Rabbi Shimon the Gemara says is the da'ata elave. The guy knows that this ner is going to extinguish over Shabbat. I mean, it's got a limited amount of oil. There's not 24 hours worth of oil in here. So he already knows from the beginning that this is not going to remain lit forever. Certainly not the whole Shabbat. So therefore, that knowledge going into Shabbat allows him to move it after it goes out, because this is something he anticipated. So as if in his mind he made like almost a condition that, you know, I even though it's lit, I didn't take my mind off it, because I know it's going out eventually, and therefore when it goes out, I want to use it. However, abal hane dinifishe la, but these items, they're big, the kos, the ke'ara, the ashashit. There's a lot of oil in them. And therefore, he doesn't anticipate going into Shabbat that these things are going out so fast, because they're very big. So therefore, the logic of Rabbi Shimon will not apply by the larger vessels. So that's why he's mahmir by kos, ke'ara, and ashashit. Comes the Gemara and says, Ve'hatanya. But what do you mean? We have a braita. And the braita says, "Motar Hashem in Shibener ושבקערה אסור. ורבי שמעון מתיר. The leftover oil that was in the ner, in the receptacle, ושבקערה, or in the קערה, which means you use, let's say, a קערה, אסור. That's according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, even after it went out, the leftover oil that's in there remains asur until Motzei Shabbat. However, v'Rabbi Shimon Matir. We have a braita that says that once it goes out, you can use the oil that's in there. Whether it's in a ner or even if it's in a ki'ara. And we just learned that a ki'ara is a big vessel. And you just told me what? That in a big vessel, even after it goes out, it still maintains its mukseh. So how can Rabbi Shimon in this braita tell me that by a kara, after it went out, you could benefit from the oil? What do you mean? I thought you told me about kara, it retains its mukseh status. So we have a stira from kara to kara. Again, in one statement you told me, in one braita you told me, Rabbi Shimon, about kara lo. Meaning, and we explained, because kara is big, and his mind is not on it, it's going to stay lit all Shabbat, and therefore, even after it goes out on Shabbat, mukseh. But now you're telling me the leftover oil, meaning in the kara, meaning it went out on Shabbat, now there's some oil left in there. The Bishamon says, matir, use it. What are you talking about? I thought you said, it's mukseh. So the Gemara says, there's different types of kara. There's different types of karot. There's big karot, and there's small karot. Kara is like, that's like saying a glass. There's big glasses and there's small glasses. How are you supposed to know when we're talking about a big kara or a small kara? Context. The context of where the kara was said. And the Gemara says, Hatam kara dumya dener. If you look in the second verse, it said, Motar Hashem shebener v'shebekara. It placed kara next to the word ner. Ner, we know, is a small receptacle. So kara in that braita was also referring to a small kara. Small kara has the same sevara. Since he anticipates it going out, therefore, when it finally does go out, you can benefit from it. Hacha kara dumya dekos. However, in the first braita, it put kos next to kara. Kos is a large receptacle. And therefore, kara in that context is also going to mean a large receptacle. So therefore, he doesn't anticipate to go out, therefore it's going to be asur. So basically what you're seeing is, nothing changes in Rabbi Shimon. The sevara remains. On small receptacles, for example a ner, or for that matter a small ki'ara, same thing. After it goes out, not only could you benefit from the ner itself, but you could even use the oil. The oil itself becomes permissible. However, it's a big ki'ara. Big kara is going to be asur, as well as an ashashit, which these are big vessels, so therefore even Rabbi Shimon is machmir. Amar Rabbi Zira. Rabbi Zira comes along and says, pamot. What is a pamot? Pamot would mean like a menorah, a candlestick, let's say, that you lit, you have a holder, let's say, like a metal holder, they call it pamot, where you would put either a candle in it, or you put oil in it. That's called a pamot. Shehidliko, that you lit it bo b'Shabbat, meaning it was lit through Shabbat. Ledevrei ha-matir asur, ledevrei ha-oser mutar. This is a little riddle now. The Gemara says, according to the opinion that says mutar, will hold by pamot, asur. Now what is that? Let's read Rashi. Pamot. Menorah shel matechet. It's a metal stick. Metal candlestick. Ve'ena me'usa. That's the chidush of a pamot. Metal, even after you use it once, does not become disgusting or repugnant like pottery. So, an old pamot is not subject to the law of Muksim Mahmat Mi'us. Now, the Devrea Matir, according to the Matir, meaning Rabbi Meir Hamatir Bener Yashan, if you remember in our first Braita, Rabbi Meir was one of the opinions. Rabbi Meir allowed Ner Yashan, an old Ner. Because Rabbi Meir did not hold of Mukseh Mahmat Mius. However, in this case, Osir. In the case of the Pamot that was lit through Shabbat, he'll say it is Asur. Why, Rashi? Be'ayd du Mukseh Mahmat Isur. Because bottom line, this was lit through Shabbat. That's a different type of Mukseh. That's called Mukseh Mahmat Isur. So the first statement means the Devreya Matir Osir. The one that was Matir Ner Yashan, because he doesn't know the Mukseh Mahmat Mius, will Osir a Pamot that was lit through Shabbat, because bottom line, it's Mukseh Mahmat Isur. Next Rashi. Le Devre Ha Osir, Rabbi Yehuda Ha Osir Bener Yashan Shel Chayres. Rabbi Yehuda that said a Ner Yashan is Asur, Mukseh, because of Mukseh Mahmat Mius. Hatamu Demais, Avalach HaShari. But here, this Pamot is metal. Once it goes out, it does not become Ma'us because it is metal. And the Rashi tells us Rabbi Yehuda does not subscribe to the opinion of Mukseh Mahmat Isur. And therefore, even though it went through Shabbat lit, once it goes out, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say, permissible. The Devre Ha'oser, the opinion that says Mukseh Mahmat Mius is Asur, over here will be Matir because he does not hold the Mukseh Mahmat Isur. Why? Because it was lit through Shabbat. So the Gemara questions this. Obviously, the Gemara right away says, Lememra, Rabbi Yehuda Mukseh Mahmat Mius Itle, Mukseh Mahmat Isur Letle? What, could you tell me that the Biyudah does not hold a Mukseh Mahmat Isur? Can't be. Ve'ad Tanya, we learn clearly, the Biyudah Omer, Kol ha-nerot shel matechet metaltelin, chutz min ha-ner shedliku bo b'Shabbat. When clearly the Braita taught us that what? All nerot of metal are non-Mukseh, because they don't become Ma'us, except for one that was lit through Shabbat. So clearly Rabbi Yehuda also holds of Mukseh Mahmat Isur. So how could you explain to me that when it says Lidevrea Oser Mutar, the opinion that says Mukseh Mahmat Mius is Asur, by a case of a Pamot that was lit through Shabbat, Mutar? That cannot be Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda holds Mukseh Mahmat Isur as well as Mukseh Mahmat Mius. He holds all the Mukses. So how do you explain that statement, Lidevrea Oser Mutar? So the Gemara says, Elai Yitmar, Hachi Yitmar. If you want to explain that statement, you have to say it like this. Amar Bizera, Pamot Shediko Ala B'Shabbat Devrea Kol Asur. Which means if you lit a Pamot through Shabbat, everybody's going to say Asur. Why? Because everybody holds of Mukseh Mahmat Isur. Which means Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Both those opinions are going to say Mukseh Mahmat Isur. Lo edliko alav. However, if you didn't light it over Shabbat, Devre Akol Mutar. Meaning, let's say you lit it during the week. So if you lit it during the week, so it's old. Yeah, but since metal does not become Ma'us, so Rabbi Yehuda can say Mutar, because it's not Ma'us, and certainly to be Meir, who doesn't even hold the Mukseh Mahmat Mius, will say it's permissible, because it's not Ma'us. Which means even if it was Ma'us, Rabbi Meir would be lenient. All the more so by a Pamot that does not become Ma'us. So therefore the statement is as follows. Lema'aseh, a Pamot that was lit through Shabbat, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say, Asur, it's Mukseh after it goes out. Why? Mukseh Mahmat Isur. Let's say you took the same Pamot, and on a Tuesday you lit it once, and then it extinguished. Now it's an old Pamot. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Mutar. Why? Because metal does not become Ma'us. Take the same case on a Ner made out of Cheres. Light it on Shabbat, but die, Mukseh Mahmat Isur. Light it during the week once. Now it's old. Mukseh Mahmat Mius. So that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Comes the Gemara and continues in the laws of Mukseh. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Rav. Mita shiyihada lema'ot asur. Mita literally means a bed. Shiyihada, that you designated it for money. Meaning that she says, you verbally designated this bed that you're going to use it for placing money on it. Now money obviously is mukseh. So the hidush is, once already you designate the bed, that that's going to be your storage place where you're going to put the money, so at that point, even before you actually put the money on it, the verbal designation already makes the bed mukseh. You designated it for the mukseh, it's mukseh. Again, let's read that inside. Amar Rav. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Mita shiyihada lema'ot, a bed that you just designated it for money, to place it on it, asur letaltela. It is forbidden to move it. According to Tosfot, Tosfot says that the bed takes on the level of mukseh of the money. Which means money is the highest level of mukseh. It's called mukseh mahmad gufo. It's intrinsically mukseh. You're not able to move it for any purpose. Not for if you need the place, not if it's, let's say, in a place where you're worried it might get stolen. That's the highest level of mukseh, where tzorek gufo, tzorek mekomo, mehamal etzeh, bring it from the sun to the shade. It's all asur. So the bed, since your intention is to place that type of mukseh on it, automatically becomes mukseh mahmad gufo, like the money, even before you put the money on it. Comes the Gemara and says, Metibe. We have a contradiction to such a statement. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak brings the question. Metaltelin ner hadash, aval lo yashan. What did we say? This is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Ner hadash is a new receptacle. It's not ma'us, so therefore you're allowed to use it for other things. You could store your buttons in it, or your pins in it, or whatever you want to store in it, let's say. Or let's say a non-mukseh item on Shabbat, right? You want to store non-mukseh things in it.
Candy,
exactly. Metaltelin ner hadash, aval lo yashan. But an old one, no, let's read the bottom nashi. Metatlin ner hadash, ve'ar biyuda ka'amar la, di'ita mukse. Alma, lo mitzar ba'azmana, medekamar, aval lo yashan, ve'lo ketari, aval lo am yuhad lekach. Which means, the biyuda gave us two cases. He gave us a mutar case, and he gave us an isur case. What was the mutar case? A new ner. What was the isur case? One that you used already. If yehud, if designation already makes mukseh, then Rabbi Yehuda should have said that you could use a new one, but once you designate it as a ner for lighting, at the designation state already it should become mukseh. But he didn't say that. He said only after you actually used it, implying that at the designation state, it's still okay. So therefore, designating a bed should not make it mukseh. And the Gemara says even better. It's a kal vachomer. The Gemara says, when we turn to the Amud Bet, Uma ner, delahachi avida, a ner is really made for what? For lighting. And still, kiloid lik bashar elitaltula, and still, it doesn't become mukseh until you actually lit mita de lavla achiyavid, a bed, which is not really made to store money on. Lo kol sheken, all the more so you'd have to use it once in order to get it to be mukseh. If a ner that's really made for lighting, and still the biyuda says it's not mukseh until you actually lit, designation is not enough. A bed which is not made to store money on it, or the more so designation should not be enough to make it mukseh. So that's Rav Nachman's question on the statement of Rav. So the Gemara says, Elai itmar hachi itmar. It's fine. If you want to say that statement of the bed, say it as follows. Amar Rav Yehuda amar Rav, mita shiyihida lema'ot. You have a bed. you designated it verbally, let's say, to put money. Heniyah alav ma'ot. Only after you placed the money on it, asur letaltela, then it's forbidden to move the bed. However, lo heniyah alav ma'ot, mutar letaltela. If you just designated it, but you didn't actually put the money on, the designation is nothing. And therefore the bed retains its status of heter. Lo yichayda lema'ot. Now let's give the other side of the coin. Let's say you didn't designate it for money. The first case was you designated it. Designated makes a difference. If there's money on it, it's forbidden. If there's no money on it, permissible. Lo yichayda lema'ot. Let's say you didn't designate it. Yesh alei ma'ot asur letaltela. Well, if there's money on the bed, even if you didn't designate it, bottom line, there's money on the bed now. So the bed becomes a base to mukseh, so it's going to be mukseh. En alei ma'ot, mutar letaltela. And if there's no money on the bed, mutar. However, v'hu shelo ayu alei ben ha-shemashot. Which means, so long as there was no money on that bed going through ben ha-shemashot of Shabbat, she's Friday afternoon going into Shabbat. If there was money on that bed going into Shabbat, that bed now went into Shabbat mukseh. And therefore, since it went into Shabbat mukseh, even if the money fell off the bed during Shabbat, doesn't matter. That bed retains the status of mukseh. Now, the Rashis, let's catch Rashis over here. Heniyah alei ma'ot. Okay, let's start the top Rashi. Afidu bechol. Let's say even during the week. Hare usal isur, v'asur letaltela, v'afidu nestalku ma'ot mebe'od yom. Ve'lo dami lener shel matechet, de'shari Rabbi Yehuda, de'atam ve'lo yachado. Now what's that case? Let's read that. And so where's the heniyah alei ma'ot going on? So look at the third line of the Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Mita sheyichida lema'ot. You designated it for money. So this bed over here, I'm using it for ma'ot. Heniyah alei ma'ot, and then you placed money on it. Asur letaltela. It becomes forbidden. Now that she says heniyah alei ma'ot, when did you place the money on it? Well, obviously not on Shabbat. Afilu bechol. Now during the week, hare uksal isur ve'asur letaltela ve'afilu nesalek ma'ot be'od yom. Which is once you designate it and you actually placed money, even if the money is not on there on Shabbat, that bed is mukseh because you had designation and you actually placed it. You actually put the money on top of the bed. ואפילו בחול השי, הרי הוקסה לאיסור ועשו לטלטלה, ואפילו נסתלקו המון בעוד יום. ולא דמי לנר של מתכת דשארי רבי יהודה. Which means, it's not דומה. Actually, this is supposed to be רבי שמעון. If I'm not mistaken, what is that bet? Oh, the bet is the אל אמונף. Okay, it can remain רבי יהודה. Which means, by a נר מתכת, by a metal pamot, let's say, that you live during the week. During the week. Does it become ma'us? No. The biyuda said, no problem. It does not become mukseh. What do you mean? You lit it during the week. So it should become mukseh. Just like this case over here, you put money on the bed during the week, so it becomes mukseh even on Shabbat. Big difference. By the bed, you designated it as well. By the pamot, you didn't designate it that this is specifically going to be used for only lighting. So therefore, for the biyuda to be mukse, you need two things. You need designation, and you actually have to use it. So let's understand the chiduk. Buy a bed. I said, this bed is over here, designated for money. Tuesday afternoon, I went and I put money on the bed. Now it's the deen. Once this bed was placed money on it with designation, on Shabbat there is no money on it. Doesn't matter. This bed now is mukseh. However, I have a pamot. I lit the pamot shel matechet on Tuesday. Of course it went out. Now it's Shabbat.
According to the Biyuda, well, it's not Ma'us. Can I move this Pamot on Shabbat? Yes. Why does she say? Because that case, she didn't designate it. Certainly, if you would have said, this Pamot, I'm designating it only for Nir. And you lit it? Finished. That's like the exact case of the bed. No. So that she's just giving you the Hiluk between the bed case that we're Osir to the Pamot case that we are Matir. Now, Lo yihayda lema'ot, continue Rashi, ve'en alea ma'ot b'Shabbat, you didn't designate it, and there's also no money on the bed on Shabbat, mutale tatela, ba'afagat diniyach alea ma'ot b'chol, even though you placed money on the bed during the week, since it wasn't designated, so therefore bottom line, even though now once there's no money on the bed on Shabbat, mutar. Now, unless it went through Shabbat, ben Hashem Asher with money on it. Then already, that she says, "Ve'ushin istalek ve'ojom shlayu aliyah kol ben Hashem Ashrot, v'layu aliyah kol ben Hashem Ashrot." It katze dekule yoma. So actually, this is the story with the bed. Only question is, what would Rabbi Shimon hold in such a case? Which means, what would Rabbi Shimon hold regarding, let's say, this bed over here? That you have the money on it, ben Hashem Ashot. Which means the Bishamon held by a ner, even though it's lit through ben Hashem Ashot, mutar. Why? Because bottom line, he doesn't know the Muksim Mahmat Isur, and his anticipation, the logic was, is it is going to go out. What is he going to say by a bed? A bed with money on it, I mean, it really doesn't go out. I mean, the money doesn't move. So the Mefarshim, the Rishonim explained that the Bishon will still say Mutar. Why? Because the assumption is somebody's going to move that money, either a kid or somebody's going to knock it off the bed over the Shabbat. And therefore, in his mind also, when he sees money going ben Hashem Ashot through the Shabbat, he says, it's not going to be there the whole Shabbat. So I'll just grab to that money. And therefore, the Bishon will be Mekil, even if it went through ben Hashem Ashot, just like he's lenient in the case of the Ner. Comes the Gemara and gives a case now. New case. Gemara says like this. Amar Ula. Ula said, Mativ Rav Eliezer. Okay. Question. Muchni Shela. It's Muchni. Now do we have a Pirush Hai here? I'm assuming that the Pirush Hai would have a picture. We're talking about over here of a wagon. Okay? Let's see if it has it. Oh, okay. We have the picture on 365. You see a wagon with a wheel. Actually, 366 is also okay. Now, you have a wagon. The Muchni, according to Rashi, is the wheel of the wagon. Okay, as you see in 365. It's a wheel, it has an axle attached to it, and it's attached to the actual wagon. Now, what are we discussing over here? The discussion is going to be, let's say this wagon with its wheels rides over a mit in a cemetery. As it's riding, and now it hovers over a dead body. Now, dead body is able to emanate tuma. The question is going to be like this. Do you consider the wheel and the wagon as one entity? Therefore, if the wagon becomes tameh, the wheel also will become tameh. Or do you say no, the wheel's a separate entity, and therefore it's not affected by whatever happens to the wagon on top of it? Now, what's going to make the deciding factor if the wheel is one entity with the wagon or not? It's going to depend if it's removable. Which means if it's a removable wheel, where you could unhook it off its axis and take it off, then it's going to be considered a separate vessel on its own, not subject to what happens to the tebat, to the wagon. However, if it's not removable, meaning it's fastened, where you cannot remove the wheel, then it's going to be considered one with the teba, and it's not going to be a separate deen. Whatever happens to the teba happens to the wheel. And now you'll see what this has to do with us. But the Gemara says, let's read inside. Mukhni shela, its wheel, the wheel of this wagon. If you want to read Rashi, Rashi says, Mukhni shela, gabe sheda tenan. Why a sheda? Sheda is a wagon. A box. Tenan be masiket kelim. Vi agala shela, it's, okay, it's a wooden wagon. Mukefet mechitzot, it has walls, surrounded by walls. Lemirkab anashim venashim. And it's used to transport people. Mukhni ofan. And the mukhni is its wheel. Back to the Gemara. Bizmanchi nishmetet. At a time that the wheel is able to be removed, that she says, Ke'en ofane agala shelanu. Like our wheels of our agalot, she'adam yachod esaleko min agala. They're removable, en hibur la. Then it's not considered attached to the mukhni. And therefore, we have some halachot that come out of it. Ve'en nimdedet imah. What does that mean? It is not measured with it. Let's read Rashi together, boys. En hibur la. See, Rashi, en hibur la, it's not considered attached, meaning the wheel is going to be considered a separate entity. Rashi, the hashuva ikli le'atzma. The isheda bat kibule tum'ahi. Now we know for a wooden box to be susceptible to receive tum'ah, it has to be a certain size, but not bigger than that size. For example, if it's so big that it can hold more than 40 se'ah of water, that's too heavy. That's a type of wooden vessel that if you'd lift it, if it had that much water in it, it would break. Such a wooden vessel, they learned from the Pesukim in the Torah, is not susceptible to Tum'ah. So therefore, let's take a case. Let's say the top Sheda was more than 40 Se'ah able to maintain. So can it receive Tum'ah? No. But the wheel, let's say, is much smaller than that. And let's say the wheel now went over this cemetery as well. If you consider it one entity, so therefore just like the box cannot receive Tum'ah, the wheel cannot receive Tum'ah. But if you say the wheel, since it's removable, is separate, I don't care what the box is. The box is judged on its own, and the wheel is also judged on its own. So that would be one nafka mina if you consider it hibur or not hibur. That's what she speaks out. Ena nimdedet imah means like this. How do you measure the box if it can carry 40 se'ah or not? If it can carry more than 40 se'ah, it's not susceptible. How do you measure that? Do you have to actually fill it up? So what you do is, no, you use the displacement theory. Meaning, you take the entire box and you put it in a big tub of water, let's say, and you press it down. The amount of water that falls out, that's considered the shi'ur. So let's say this box is big enough that when you stick it in a big tub, let's say, it can displace 40 se'ah of water, which the hidush is, you don't judge the inside only. When you're displacing, actually you're getting the whole box itself, including its thickness of its walls. Right? You're getting the full measure. Now, if you consider the wheel attached, so it's considered one with the box. So you count the wheels also in the displacement. However, if you consider the wheels detachable, therefore it's separate, you cannot use the wheels to measure the shi'ur of the box itself, because that's not considered part of the box. So that's what the Braita means, or the Mishnah means. Ve'en nimdedet imah. You cannot use it as part of its measurement. Why? Because it's separate, since it is detachable. Next din. Ve'en nimdedet imah. Ve'en matzelet imah be'ohel amet. What does that mean? Let's see, let's say the the box on top, the wooden box, is very big. If it's not susceptible to tum'ah. Now let's say it rides over a mit. Now, whatever's in the box itself is not going to become tameh. However, whatever is under the wheel is going to make the wheel tameh. Because the wheel is not considered the box. It's separate. So therefore, ena matzeret, while the box is going to be able to save itself from tum'ah, the wheel itself will not. Therefore, for example, if you look in the, probably have a picture of this, in 366. See, you have, let's say, you have very big wheels over here, so they can, let's say, you know, go over a mit, and the mit is technically going to be under the wheel somehow, and it's going to be hovering over it. So therefore, the wheel itself can be susceptible to tumah. Let's read that in Nashi. Ve'ena matzilit ima be'ohel amit. Let's read that. The ima shida mahzeket memse'ah. If let's say the box holds memse'ah, ve'ena mekabelet tumah, right? The box cannot receive tumah. Matzilit bo'ohel amit. Right? It can save itself from becoming tameh. Bavi oil la'atzma. Fine. Then she goes down further and says, but that'll only help the box itself. It will not help the wheel from becoming tameh. So how many dinim did we say so far? We said, en chibur la, it's not considered attached to it. When it's detached, well, obviously, it's not considered one with it. And therefore it has its own din. In mdedet ima, you don't use it in the displacement to measure it. Ve'en matzelet ima be'ohel, it's not going to be saved from tum'ah of ohel, like the box will. Ve'en goririn ota b'shabbat, bezman sheyesh aleha ma'ot. And you're not going to be allowed to drag this mukhni on Shabbat when there is money on it. Money where? Dashi. Actually, no dashi, but you have your picture. Look at the picture over here. Bizman sheyesh aleha ma'ot. That would be... okay, he doesn't have an actual picture. I don't see it in here. But bottom line, if you consider this detachable, this wheel over here, so now you're going to have issues over here. If let's say on the box itself you have money, you have in the box money, and this is considered separate, so therefore it's not considered a basis to the wheel itself, because the money is on top and the wheel is separate. But if you consider, let's say, it hibur, one entity, so now that you have money in the box itself, so it's considered the whole thing is a base for tum'ah, and therefore you would not be allowed to drag the mukhni on Shabbat because you have money. Let's read that inside. Ve'en goririn ota b'shabbat. You cannot drag the sheda, the box, on Shabbat. Bizman sheyesh aleha ma'ot. That's what I wanted. Look at Tosafot. En gorin otab b'shav bizman sheyesh aleha ma'ot. Mefaresh li. Then he explains this. Tikshin nishmetet, when the wheels are detachable, he kli b'fnei atzma. Then it's considered a separate vessel on its own. Aval kishena nishmetet, however, when the wheel does not come off, mutal li gorera, you can drag it. Why? Afapish yesh aleha ma'ot, dekeman she'enam al gabeh sheda she'ikar akli shari. Which means, what's the main vessel? The main vessel is the box. Now, if it was, let's say it's not detachable. Not detachable. And the money is on the wheel. According to Tosafot, no problem. If If it's one entity, and it's not on the ikar part of the entity, which would be the box itself, it's not detachable, and there's money in the wheel itself, let's say. There's a receptacle in the wheel where you could hold the money. According to Tosafot, no problem. What do you mean, but it's a base for mukseh? No. When it's attached, it's one item, it's got to be on the primary base. Where's the primary base? The sheda itself. However, that's when it's attached. However, when it's detachable, so now the braita says what? Bizman sheyesh aleha ma'ot. That's when the wheel can come off. It's going to be mukseh. Therefore, the braita is saying, or the gemara is saying, that when there's money in the wheel itself, and the wheel is detachable, so therefore it's considered in its primary place, because it's its own entity, therefore you cannot drag the mukhni with the wheel on Shabbat. Comes the gemara and makes a diyuk now. What's the diyuk? Ha'en alei ma'ot sharia. Implying that what? That if there was no money in the wheel, it's permissible. Even though, let's say, the money was in the wheel through the beginning of Shabbat to the onset, bottom line, all this statement says, only if there is money there, then it's not movable. Implying if there's no money there right now on Shabbat, I don't care if it went through Shabbat with money on it. That's a question of what we just said, because we just said the bed. Even though there's no money on it now on Shabbat. But if it went through Bina Shemasot with money on it, it is going to be Asur. But when it comes to the wheel, you're telling me what? That Davka, if there is money on it now on Shabbat, implying that if there was money going through Shabbat, Bina Shemasot, and now it's not there anymore, Mutar. That's a direct question on the shita we just said above. So the Gemara answers, Ha'ida b'shimon hi. That's the b'shimon. What do you want? This wheel case is the b'shimon. Delet le mukseh. That doesn't hold of the subject of mukseh, meaning the b'shimon doesn't hold that it's ben Hashem Ashur business. He says, I don't care how it went into Shabbat, meaning he doesn't hold the mukseh mahmat isur. Therefore, even though the wheel case, ben Hashem Ashur, there was money in it. Shabbat doesn't matter. Bottom line, we look at today. Shabbat, is there money in the wheel? No. Move it. Over Rav, can it be Yudas Firale? And Rav, that was Mahmir in the bed case, that said, if there's money on it, Ben Hashem Ashot, even though there's no money on it now, he holds like the Biuda that holds of Mukseh Mahmat Isur. Comes the Gemara and says, Hachin Amim Bistabra. It makes sense. The Rav, can it be Yudas Firale? Now we're just going to show you how Rav and Rabbi Yehuda agree with each other. The Amar Rav, Manihim Ner Al Gabe Dekel B'Shabbat. Rav says, you're allowed to place a Ner, which means a receptacle with the wick, with the fire, on top of a palm tree on Shabbat. Now you're not putting it on Shabbat, meaning before Shabbat. For some reason, the guy wants to light the Ner and place it on a palm tree. Don't ask why. But that's what he's doing. He's putting it on the Erev Shabbat on top of a palm tree. And the deen is, he's allowed to do it. But you can't put it on top of the palm tree on Yom Tov. Now, let's discuss one law that you have to know. You all agree that whether it's Shabbat or Yom Tov, you're not allowed to climb a tree, nor you're allowed to benefit from a tree, because they're worried that you might come to pull off a branch. So now, in light of that law, we want to understand, why are you allowed to place it on a tree on Shabbat, but not allowed to place it on a tree on Yom Tov? What should be the difference? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you the difference. If you tell me that he holds like the Yehuda, that's something that goes through Ben Hashem Ashot, becomes mukseh. Hainu deshari ben Shabbat de Yom Tov. I can say very good. Since on Erev Shabbat when you lit this Ner, it was lit ben Hashem Ashot, correct? And if you tell me that something that was lit ben Hashem Ashot becomes mukseh the entire Shabbat even after it goes out, so therefore that's why I have no problem to put it on a palm tree. You know why? Because it's mukseh. There's no gizah the guy's going to climb the tree to get his Ner. because it's muxeh. It's not accessible to him. So therefore, I don't have to make a gezerah that he might come to climb the palm tree. However, on Yom Tov, a ner is movable. You're allowed to use fire on Yom Tov. So therefore, I'm not going to allow you to put a ner on top of a palm tree on Yom Tov. Why? Gezerah, that he might climb the tree to come get it. So therefore, there's a difference between Shabbat and Yom Tov. On Shabbat, since bottom line, it was lit, going into Shabbat. Now it went out, Saturday morning. But bottom line, according to the Yehuda, if it was lit by the Shemashot, it remains Mukseh. Is there a Gezerah that I might climb the tree? Of course not. Why should I climb the tree? I can't touch the net anyway. Therefore, you can put it on Erev Shabbat. However, on Yom Tov, you can't. Because on Yom Tov, I can move the net, and therefore, I have a problem of climbing a tree, maybe using the tree. So that makes sense. Now, who made this statement? This statement was made by Rav. And it only makes sense if he subscribes to Rabbi Yehuda. However, the Gemara says, Elai amad k'Rabbi Shimon svirale. But if he holds like Rabbi Shimon, meaning that even something that was lit through Ben HaShemashot does not become mukseh when it goes out, Mali Shabbat, Mali Yom Tov. What's the difference? It should be Asur in both cases. It should be Asur on Shabbat as well. Because once it goes out, it's not mukseh. Make a gizna, you might climb the tree. So from that case, we see what? Rav must hold like Rabbi Yehuda that says something that goes to Ben HaShemashot, mukseh remains mukseh the entire Shabbat. Comes again and says, "V'Rav, can Rabbi Yehuda svirale? Does Rav actually hold like Rabbi Yehuda?" We're questioning it again. "V'ha ba'u mine de'Rav." They asked the question to Rav once. "Ma'u le'taltule shargad da'hanukta mekame havre b'shabeta." It was a case that happened on Hanukkah. We learned earlier in the second Perek, there used to be a group of goyim called Hablaya. They lived in the times of the Persians. These guys, a lot of times, did not allow the Jewish people to light their Hanukkah candles. Why? Either because they just didn't want us to celebrate Hanukkah, or because they used to have a law that if Hanukkah falls out on their holiday, you're only allowed to light candles in their church, but you cannot light candles anywhere else. So there was a lot of good Jews that wanted to light the menorah anyway to fulfill the mitzvah. So, now, if you remember, we learned in the olden days, where did they light the menorah? Outside. So now they were concerned, let's say, on a Tuesday night, if they lit, so they would light the menorah. The second it would go out, they would run outside, take the menorah, bring it inside, so these goyim will not see that there was a menorah lit. But the question is, what do you do on Shabbat? Which means Friday night, you have to light menorah also. So Friday afternoon, they'd go out to their courtyard, they put the menorah there. Now, it lit. It was lit through Ben HaShemashot. Technically, according to the Biyuda, it's mukseh. So now they came to Rav, and they asked him, they said, it's Friday night, the menorah is outside in the front of the house, could we move it back inside because of the issue of these goyim that are going to, you know, who knows what they're going to do to us, they're going to attack us. So what did Rav say? And he told him, Mutar. So you see that Rav doesn't hold up like the Biyuda. Because if he held like the Biyuda, it's Mukseh. So the Gemara says, no, what kind of proof is that? Sha'ata da'hakshani. That's a circumstance case. That's not a normal case. That's a case of this, so you don't get beat up by the goyim. And how do we know that he was only Matir because of that circumstance? Because after Rav made that halakha, some rabbis questioned him and said, "Hachi hilcheta? What do you mean? Is that really the halakha?" Which means they also understood that Rav was the mahmir. So they said, "How could you allow us to take this near Hanukkah on Friday night after it goes out? You're the mahmir like Nabi Yehuda." So what did he answer them? Amar lehu kedayu Rabbi Shimon nesmok alav b'shat adachak. Rabbi Shimon is worthy enough that you could rely on him in a pinch. Which means, in this case over here, you can take Rabbi Shimon so the goyim don't beat you up. Now obviously he wasn't talking about sakanat nefashot here. There was no situation there where we're concerned that the goyim were going to kill us. If they were going to kill you, then there's no shayla over here. You can take any opinion. The issue over here was, they might beat you up, they break your windows or something. So for that, Rabbi Rav said, you know what? In this case, even though I really hold Mukseh, generally speaking, if it went through Ben Avashim Hashot, in Sha'at HaDahak, in circumstance, Kedai Ulesmoch Alav. But generally speaking, Rav would take the Biyuda, that if it was lit Ben Hashem Hashod, it is Mukseh. Baruch Adonai Le'olam.
Amen. Amen. Amen.